Quiet Disruptors, Creating Change Without Shouting. Written and read by me, Sue Hetherington. Chapter 6, Seeing Differently. I've been looking differently at our world for some time now. It can feel like these are interesting times. How do we imagine new futures, find wisdom and voice, and bring new meaning to life and work? Steve Marshall. These lovely words of invitation usher us into a way that Steve Marshall sees the world. Shaped by his eyes as a professional photographer, elite fighter pilot with acute attention to his situational awareness, and latterly as a consultant in organisational change and executive development, Steve now offers us a challenge. Will we embrace the opportunity of hashtag seeing differently? Steve's emerging manifesto is a courageous step in reframing what we think we see that has vital implications. Even though he isn't shouting, people are listening for wisdom fit for our time. Seeing more. Our task is to read the things that are not yet on the page. Steve Jobs. Observing people who could be called quiet disruptors, the quality of responses they offer is often noticeable. While they do not have a monopoly on great answers, there are emerging characteristics that often make them worth listening to. Broader perception. They appear to see and hear more. Powerful insights. They often make extraordinary connections, including significant leaps. Greater sense-making. They are comfortable interpreting complexity and ambiguity, which we'll explore in the next chapter. Broader perception. Generally, the closer we are, the less we see, not of the detail, but the context. And often this is where significant insights lie. In the 1980s, IBM were the primary driver in computer manufacture and innovation. They were far ahead of the competition, and their scale meant that they were assumed to be untouchable. So how come it was a small unknown company in Seattle called Microsoft that succeeded in cornering the desktop market? Bill Gates was looking at the industry from a very different place. Standing back from the apparent attraction of mainframe computers, he saw the potential impact of meeting the humbler needs of individuals who could use some of that power in their everyday work and lives. He perceived the personal computing revolution before it even happened. No one sees everything all of the time. But Bill Gates' qualities as a quiet disruptor have been evident for a long time. He has consistently prioritised thinking and reading time in his diary. As a result, he has a reputation for being one of the most widely read business leaders, bringing a depth and breadth of perception to all that he does. This now includes the global work of the Gates Foundation. Not bad for a software developer. Increasingly, organisations of all types realise that they need to look further to understand the needs of their customers or stakeholders. No longer can they only come up with internal solutions to remain competitive or thrive. This means cultivating a broader perspective. Dr. Rachel Naomi Remen talks about seeing from the edge. She recognises the value in observing more and noticing things that others miss. This has significantly impacted her work with people who have incurable conditions and helping them find a different level of wholeness and healing. Her own experience of Crohn's disease both fuelled her passion for this area and enabled her to develop pioneering training for clinicians that went far beyond treating sickness. Her story is profound and inspiring, not just for doctors, but for all who trust that there are better answers. and her core message? Listen generously. So why do quiet disruptors tend to notice more and see with wider lenses? Standing back from the issue is critical. Quiet disruptors are not motivated by finding the first answer, but the best solution. Therefore, they'll take more time to reflect and consider the problem from multiple angles. This includes thinking about impact and implications, probably longer and further than others. Also, because they tend to see from the margins, they're more likely to be in observation mode. Noticing things that others pass over, particularly in terms of intangible issues, nuances of behaviour, or recognising groups or people outside of the mainstream. Listening generously is more likely to be in their toolkit, unless they get triggered by stimulating questions and go off in their heads. While quiet disruptors will have a focus on their passion, they also appear to have a breadth of interest. They are rarely narrow in what they consume and appear to be better at rejecting mere noise. This means their perception is likely to be widely informed and therefore of more substance. Finally, there is the freedom which comes from not being wedded to the status quo. This means they are more likely to see the cracks in current solutions and be prepared to offer more radical answers than others might venture. Powerful insights. One of the reasons we don't have more insights is that we're looking in the wrong place. Big data has wowed us so much that we think it's going to give us the next breakthrough. But insights aren't on a trajectory. They're a break from the trend. Fundamentally, insights are a shift in our understanding of what is. Something causes us to see the familiar from a different angle, and as a result, we have a new story, one that can't be undone. We can't unsee an insight, though not everyone gets it, at least initially. The psychologist Gary Klein is well known for his work on insights. His book, Seeing What Others Don't, The Remarkable Ways We Gain Insights, unearths compelling stories about how individuals pursued their curiosity and found ways to break through seemingly impossible situations. Sometimes the consequences were specific to them personally, while others impact our lives every day, from healthcare to flight and beyond. Insights are unexpected. They come without warning and aren't explained by simple cause and effect. We can't just turn them on. However, through Gary's work, we do know the tendencies that promote them. Noticing connections, coincidences, and curiosities. Responding to inconsistencies by looking at them from a different angle, even upside down. Weeding out flawed beliefs. These can be expressed as habits of mind, and people who are quiet disruptors appear to cultivate these characteristics. For example, quiet disruptors are more likely to have an actively curious mindset. They are habitually asking questions, including, where have I seen this before? Why is this happening? This contrasts with those of us who just want to get on with the job in hand. Quiet disruptors are also far more alert to the assumptions underpinning why we do what we do. And if these do not stack up, they will explore what happens if we change beliefs. An example of weeding out flawed beliefs was Seth Godin's experience with the Vision Springs charity in India. The people they encountered at the village stall doing the reading test required glasses, and their visible money purses demonstrated that they had the cash to pay. But why were only a third purchasing? The flawed assumption was that they would respond to the positive experiences of choice like any other Western consumer. By removing the element of choice, they changed the story to, do you want us to take away what you have, or do you want to pay to keep the glasses that are already working for you? This led to a 100% increase in the number of glasses purchased. How good is that? Chapter 7, Interpreting Complexity. Why do people do what they do? Ultimately, as humans, we make decisions and take actions that are consistent with how we see the world. And even if things don't stack up, we create narratives that enable us to make sufficient sense to feel okay and operate on autopilot. Unfortunately, recent history is littered with failures of assuming we know how the world works. And the likelihood is that this is going to get worse, just taking the variable response to COVID-19 as an illustration. Yet many still want to live in a relatively simple environment of known cause and effect, where life and work are predictable. The problem is, the world isn't like that anymore, if it ever was. Death remains the only certainty, and everything else is complex, unpredictable, and ambiguous. However, some people appear to navigate this new world better than others. These are people who are asking questions beyond the usual paradigm. Looking for patterns. Warren Buffett of Berkshire Hathaway is a well-known investor, business magnate, and philanthropist. He takes the long view in investing, looking for patterns and connections that only become apparent over time. His capacity to make money is informed by his breadth and depth of view, and is matched by his generosity as a philanthropist. It has also enabled him to survive multiple stock market crashes, learning ever more along the way. There were other voices, too, who recognised the underlying problems with the global economy, like Meredith Whitney and Marcus Barry, who saw that what was happening in the subprime market in the mid-noughties. And what they were saying challenged assumptions about the never-ending upward trajectory of property prices. Like Warren Buffett, they weren't loud voices, and they did their research. But those who heeded their challenge were not felled in the crash. Seeing patterns and making connections across boundaries comes from asking more difficult questions, those that challenge conventional wisdom. Seeing the whole. Human factors is the study of the interactions between human beings and the other elements of the systems in which they operate. Professor Harold Thimbleby is a computer scientist and engineer by background. He started to become curious about human factors when looking at the pattern of errors with data entry on keypads. Based at Swansea University, he now works globally in raising awareness of forced errors in the design of medical devices, which has enormous human consequences. This is not only in terms of patient harm and even death, but also the blame that is too readily assigned to clinicians, particularly nurses, when things go wrong. Unfortunately, the assumption is that the machine is always right. Therefore, any problems must be caused by human error. Harold's work has challenged this, in particular the bureaucratic handling of failure and the privileged position of device manufacturers. As a consequence, long-held assumptions are being questioned and harm is being avoided. Today, a partial answer is only that, a partial answer. In the past, in our less interconnected and interdependent world, it might do as a proxy. But no more. We need to have a means of seeing the whole, or at least the essential threads. And no single person can do this on their own, certainly not if they're using old lenses. The Art of Perception is a program run by Amy E. Herman, a consultant and educator with a background as a lawyer and art historian. Working with various law enforcement agencies, she uses group visits to galleries and museums to draw out the difference between looking and seeing. Collectively viewing well-known pieces of art enables the detectives to talk about what they see and change their perspective, leading to a shift in the way they observe and gather evidence in their day jobs. When was the last time you stopped to reflect on the bigger picture or make connections that aren't immediately obvious in your team or organisation? What might you have missed along the way? Thank you for listening to Quiet Disruptors. I hope it's inspired, encouraged, and even provoked you to become the change you want to see. If it has, then great. Please share it, buy the book, or post a review. It all helps. So, until we meet again, go gently and speak softly about the things that matter, because the world is waiting for you.